This is Mae Bressel. The program is titled World Watchers. It's the second half of a one-hour program. I always forget to tell you that if you missed one half of this or you missed several weeks before or programs that I referred to in the past, there are tape cassettes available of these back broadcasts. And also, if you wanted printed sheets with the resources, the material, the sources of newspapers and articles that I use upon which I base this broadcast and other programs, you can write to me and send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll give you information on how to obtain the bibliography sheets for the particular broadcast. I always suggest that you get a three-hole cutter or just punch a hole and put them in a three-hole notebook in chronological order. I may as well say, you can write, give me the address. I always forget to do that, too. We seem to be running out of time so fast, so we'll start at the beginning. Write Mae Bressel, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel 93922, and I'll tell you how to get sheets or broadcasts that you might have missed. And if you listen locally, of course, you can just tape it off the air and get the bibliographies through the mail. Now, the news report today, before I did this broadcast, that Reagan may visit a German synagogue to mute the criticism that he's going to honor the Waffen-SS and the Gestapo at their burial sites. White House officials said that Reagan may go to a synagogue in an effort to quell the uproar over his plans to visit the graves of German soldiers, but not visit a concentration camp. He's going there. It is the 40th anniversary since the war was over, and only Ronald Reagan would think of going to the cemetery of the SS Gestapo. Only Reagan, because he's been groomed for this job since his General Electric days and since his movie days in Warner Brothers. I never for a moment doubted that he wasn't building up to this kind of activity, and I've shared my reasons for believing that with you week after week. He's going to visit a cemetery where German World War II soldiers are buried, and he wants to acknowledge that the Gestapo died during the war. Members of the Soviet Union, of course, the Soviet communist paper Pravda, said that his plans to visit the cemetery is an act of blasphemy, mocking the memory of millions of people killed by the Nazis. To go to a synagogue is not to say that 80 million people... I happen to be Jewish, and I'm sick and tired of hearing that 6 million Holocaust over and over. It wasn't just Jews. It was 80 million. There were 20 million Russians killed defending their country. And what right to think that to go to a synagogue or a house of worship to let him in, a rabbi would be out of his mind. And most of them are, as I said before, I have so little use for most of them. Now, Ronald Reagan used the excuse of dropping out of ceremonies at the Elbe. There was supposed to be a ceremony where the American Army would meet the Soviet Army, just where the Americans met the Reds at the Elbe River, April 25th. 2 weeks before the Nazis surrendered, the Americans and Russians met at this place. Of course, Reagan is consistent with the policy that our own OSS, William Donovan and Alan Dulles and William Casey and the powers that be had already been planning for 2 years to combine the Nazis with the United States, and General George Patton wanted that, and Mark Clark, they wanted to go on and fight Russia. But the point is that there was supposed to be a ceremony where the Americans would meet the Russians. 2 weeks, as I say, before the Nazis surrender, the anniversary would be April the 25th. Well, when an American was killed, Ronald Reagan said an American spy was killed by the Russians recently. Ronald Reagan said, "I'm dropping out of the ceremony. We won't use that occasion to celebrate anything with you because you just killed an American." Now, this is the typical kind of provocateur action that Ronald Reagan and our government have been so brilliant at doing, but Reagan is really the maestro. He's sort of the Toscanini of this kind of activity. There's three articles that you might not have seen regarding the major's death. We're talking about the dispute over a murder in East Germany last month. A Soviet soldier shot for an American major, Arthur D. Nicholson Jr. He was spying on the Soviet Union with some important papers. The New York Times has a story, April the 4th, U.S. aides differ on major's death. The State Department and the Pentagon dispute. between each other, our own aides, over the East Germany killing. A dispute has broken out between our State Department and Secretary Weinberger, the two of them, over the slaying of Army Major in East Germany. According to both the State and Defense Department officials, the issues have brought up fundamental disagreements between our own two agencies on what to do with the Soviet Union. Within our State Department and with the Caspar Weinberger, who actually runs that Iron Hand, the Star Wars, and Daniel Graham, Fritz Kramer, and Ronald Reagan mentality, and Henry Kissinger, the State Department versus Weinberger over the truth about that death. Another story from the London Times, shot Major's secret mission. The U.S. Army Major, shot dead by a Russian sentry in East Germany last Sunday, was on a key mission aimed to filling in a gap in Western intelligence. He hoped to spy on secret new weapons recently supplied to a crack Soviet first strike force stationed near West German border. Major Arthur Nicholson was killed while trying to take photographs inside the building that houses the tanks of the Soviet 2nd Guards Army at the base. It's 50 miles from a strategic port of Hamburg. Nicholson's driver reported yesterday as saying the major was shot in the back and chest, and Vice President Bush was there to receive the coffin when it arrived at Andrews Air Force Base. The Soviet units on which he was spying were described by a Western military observer as a prime intelligence target, just as when the Korean airline went down and we were using that plane and the pilot of the president of South Korea to instigate a situation that brought on all kinds of consequences. When Larry McDonald went down, it saved him from going to the court in Los Angeles involved with the LAPD. It also brought Mr. Nakasone's weapons increase. It brought the MX missile deployment issue. A lot of things happened, and we were watching the spies and spying over Russia at the same time. The London Times says that these forces were outfit with his prime weapons, and the Soviets had them located in this particular warehouse, and that a close-up photograph of the new guns would have been very useful to the United States. A West German source put it, Nicholson could have been trying to get a picture looking down the gun barrel that would show whether the gun had rifling or was smooth bore and the thickness of the outer casing. So he was killed near one of the tank sheds near road H191 on the way to Hamburg, the borderline there, 20 miles from the German border. He was inside there looking down the tank shed. His driver described how he was shot and what he was doing when he was shot. He was spying on the Soviet Union. Los Angeles Times, March 28th. United States concedes the officer took military photos. They said it was unjustified of the Soviet Union to kill him, but when they set him up and sent him inside of a place to photograph a tank inside of a building, then after he's killed, then Reagan can respond and say, no, we're not going to meet you. We're not going to celebrate the end of the war. Then Reagan was asked to go to a ceremony or send representatives to go to Dachau and visit the concentration camp so that we would never repeat those things that happened before. And by March 22nd, there were articles, Reagan bars focus on the past. He's skipping Dachau. Otherwise, Dachau spot was marked to be celebrated as part of the end of the war and the VE Day. There were to be ceremonies there, and Chancellor Kohl and his generation of West Germans feel that collective guilt is not a democratic concept and that they shouldn't feel guilty about what happened in the past. But the past is now, and we're not talking about the past, and the problem is that there's too much emphasis on the past. The West German officials had urged Reagan not to visit Dachau because Kohl plans to visit another camp, Bergen-Belsen, in the northwest of Germany next month. Now, I have a feeling about Dachau that I know that Hitler's Fritz Kramer, was number 33 prisoner at Dachau, a Nazi who represented Hitler, along with Mr. Piper and Mr. Dietrich, who got out, that Senator Joe McCarthy's political career began by releasing the Nazi defendants that were supposed to be hung or spend most of their lives in jail in Dachau, that Senator Joe McCarthy worked with Father Welch and people down Georgetown and the Vatican in promoting the career of Joe McCarthy in promise for return for his releasing these Nazis that were important, and that Mr. Fritz Kramer, who sat with them, has not been seen or photographed since any way, shape, or form. And I still feel that if Kissinger's pulling the strings now, he wouldn't want our President of the United States, who he pulls those hands. He's Mr. Geppetto, the puppet master. I don't think he wants him at Dachau. And I think there's a reason why Dachau is particularly bad for our president to visit, from the standpoint that our politicians and our Cold War and our blacklisting came from people who were directly linked to getting the Nazis out of Dachau prison, and because nobody yet has identified the man who is the mentor of Henry Kissinger, Fritz Kramer, prisoner number 33 at Dachau. So Ronald Reagan isn't going there. But by April the 12th, Reagan antagonized the entire world by saying that he would visit the German cemetery where members of the German army were buried. Their graves are there. They say SS Gestapo. And this caused a lot of talk show and even CBS and Evening News commentary about what was he doing visiting the graveyard of these Nazis, members of the Nazi party, and clearly identified as Gestapo. Ronald Reagan justified his opinion at a news conference March 21st. He said there were very few Germans alive that remember even the war, and certainly none of them who were adults and participated in any way. When Reagan announced that he would not visit Dachau on March 21st, he said there were very few Germans alive and that remember even the war. This is Ronald Reagan, your president of the United States. And certainly none of them were adults participating in any way. None of them are adults. He said that when he announced in March that he would not visit Dachau. But it turns out in April that he's going to the graves of the SS Gestapo, and he tries to make us believe that it is not important, that these people, that they're all under 40 years old running around there, or 65. Now, there was a comment about that on Charles Corral's program Sunday, April 14th. He was speaking to a CBS representative in Europe who said he had been to the cemetery and seen the SS Gestapo signs on the graves, markings, but he said, I guess we won't be able to go there until everyone who was alive during the war is dead. Now, what kind of a 1984 are they giving us? That's one reason these tapes are important to get around and share. It's the reason why I use books. It's why I tell you who writes the books, tell you the newspapers and where to get the material. History has gone on for thousands of years. Every Jewish child that is born today or tomorrow bears the stigma because Judas decided to put Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. History does not let us forget that. I've mentioned that before on one of my broadcasts. History is to remember the past so it doesn't repeat itself. And Sandy Anna wasn't the only one who thought about those things. History is to remember and never to forget. What does the Bible tell you about David? The story of David. The poetry isn't so important, or the Psalms. It's the fact that one small person with an ideology can catch the bully. And the Goliath, with the right stone in the right place, might doesn't make right, and the history of the world and psychology is written in books, and nobody should forget. You shouldn't forget the Civil War, and if Mr. Helmut Kohl wants to forget, as I said before, he should throw out the Passion Play every year at Oberammergau. History is to remember. And the flap about Reagan visiting and paying homage to defenders of the Third Reich and people who fought the Third Reich and put bullets into the bodies of Americans and put Americans into cemeteries is outrageous. The quotation again, he enlarged, he said, I felt that since the German people have very few alive that remember even the war, and certainly none of them were adults, and none of them who were adults participating in any way, why should they have a feeling and a guilt feeling imposed upon them? Reagan wants to keep history under control, according to Ellen Goodman, writing a column to keep it under control. and have limited access to it. Now, in celebration of the Battle of the Bulge, he's going to the cemetery where some of these people died in the Battle of the Bulge. I've collected every book I can on the Battle of the Bulge. The latest one is called A Time for Trumpets, The Untold Story of the Battle of the Bulge. It mentions Hitler's Fritz Kramer just in about two places. It's about an 800-page book, 712. There was a review of it in the Washington Times just March the 14th. But in it, it refers to Joachim Piper, J-O-A-C-H-I-M, Piper, a brilliant, ruthless commander, a favorite of Hitler's. Piper and Sepp Dietrich, S-E-P-P, Dietrich, just like Marlene Dietrich, and Fritz Kramer and Otto Skorzeny were the favorites of Adolf Hitler, and Hitler had made a deal for them. And, of course, as I say, Piper, Dietrich, Kramer, Skorzeny were all freed. Where is Kramer today? I believe he's the plans officer, retired from the Pentagon, running the Star War operation now. They're dead. Ronald Reagan thinks they're dead. They're old, don't remember. They don't have all Alzheimer's disease, and plenty remember. For those of you who don't have the broadcast I did, there's several broadcasts on Hitler's diary. One was December 26, 1983, a year and a half ago. And I took this from the London Times, and I did actually four broadcasts on Hitler's diary and the Nazis who are alive today, and the 5.3 million, it's between 3 and 5 million, that went to the living Waffen-SS, the Gestapo. The dead ones Reagan will visit in the cemetery. The living are around. A series of articles and tapes I did went into Mr. Medard Klapper, K-L-A-P-P-E-R, SS guard, the head of the Liebsdienst, who worked with Mr. Heidemann and helped get the money. They sold what were supposed to be forged, and we won't go back into that again. You can get my back tapes. They are the head. Liebsdienst was the death's head. He was the head of it. Mr. Klapper is alive today. Mr. Wilhelm Mohnke, M-O-H-N-K-E, who worked in the Battle of the Bulge with Fritz Kramer and Skorzeny and Piper and Dietrich, who was in the bunker when Hitler and Martin Bormann and all of them were able. I believe Hitler left with them. There's no reason to die, but that's not the point. He was the last person in the bunker with him. He's still alive. He's a member of the elite Liebsdienst, sworn to obedience. He was started as a concentration camp guard. You can read about him in the Order of the Death's Head. Fritz Stiefel, he's still around, S-T-I-E-F-E-L. He's a collector of Nazi artifacts. He wanted to buy Hitler's the yacht of Goering. Hitler's yacht was in Florida. It's being moved up to New England, and I follow that route of Hitler's yacht. They're going to make a memorial of that soon, and people will be visiting Hitler's yacht. It's in the United States. This fellow wanted Goering's yacht. That's where Gerd Heidemann, who set up the various Nazis from the Waffen-SS, all met together to plan reunions, and they're all out of camps. They're alive today. They will greet Ronald Reagan at the cemetery, I'm sure. Mr. Fritz Stiefel, the collector of artifacts. Jacob Tiefenthaler, T-I-E-F-E-N-T-H-A-I-E-R, of the Waffen-SS, with General Fritz Kramer. And Mr. Mohnke, he was chief of audiovisual of the United States Army in Germany, West Germany. He'll be at the cemetery, I'm sure, along with Ronald Reagan. Erich Kempke of the Waffen-SS, Hitler's driver. He's still alive. He's the head of the Hague. Alexander Haig, spelled backwards, H-I-A-G. H-I-A-G is actually the fundraising group for the Waffen-SS, the living Waffen-SS. Mr. Kempke can go to the party when Ronald Reagan's in Germany. His driver is alive very well, as is, we know, Joseph Mengele is floating around. He could go there. He went to his father's funeral. He could be in the entourage to see Ronald Reagan at the cemetery, the Waffen-SS. Conrad Kujai, K-U-J-A-I, says he wrote the Hitler's diary. He's called a compulsive liar. He didn't get hurt by it. The trial's been going on for 6 months in London. He's around and collects memorabilia and gets to them, and he only made between 3 to 5 million for the Waffen-SS, given through the London Times. That's Rupert Murdoch, the same Murdoch that bought 50% of 20th Century Fox, partner now with Mr. Davis, Marvin Davis. That money was raised by London Times and one paper in Germany. Authenticated diaries goes right to The Hague Gert Heidemann, the close friend of Mrs. Goering, close to all the top Nazis, the organizer, the German who first produced and sold the diaries. He got $5 million for the diaries from Stern. I'm just reading some names off the broadcast that I had and from the London Times that was published December the 11th, 1983. It's written by Gita Sereny, a well-known writer in England. You can go to your library and get your microfiche and photocopy the London Times, December the 11th, 1983. They're all alive. That Ronald Reagan is a pathological liar and a destroyer of any truth whatsoever for his own purposes and to keep the fascism. Don't, as I said before, don't think when he was acting with Errol Flynn, co-starring when Flynn was in the Gestapo, that that swastika wasn't underneath his shirt or rubbing off. The idea to say that there are very few Germans alive that remember the war and none of them adults that participated in any way would be around is a lie, and this man should be called for that kind of garbage. And I'll continue with some more names. Mr. Wolfgang Schulze, S-C-H-U-L-Z-E, living in Florida, is part of the Hitler group behind the diary and working with those. And Professor Eberhard Jackel, E-B-E-R-H-A-R-D, J-A-C-K-E-L. He's a professor who went to Stifel's house and introduced these various people, Mr. Cujot, and the collectors of the diaries and sold them to raise this money. Perius Medard Klapper, K-L-A-P-P-E-R, Waffen-SS, travels around the world. He was with SS Karl Wolf. Karl Wolf was running Treblinka concentration camps while he was meeting the Operation Sunrise with Alan Dulles and William Donovan of the OSS. He just died a year ago, if he died, in Argentina. He only died after Beat Clarsfield was going to go down there and look for him, so they had a ceremony and something was in a grave with the Gestapo hands raised, the Nazi salute. Gert Heidemann, Martin Bormann, Klaus Barbie, all of them Hague supporters, H-A-I-G, I put again, it's H-I-A-G. All of these people alive just linked to one story where they raised this money for the Waffen-SS. Now, I did put on a broadcast back December 84, how Mr. Helmut Kohl was lobbying on VE Day celebrations, and he said, Mr. Kohl said, in quotes, "The most important thing is that one should think of the young German generation. They should be proud of their heritage, and they should be made to feel at home in their alliance with the United States." Pardon me, that wasn't Helmut Kohl. That was Alois Mertes, the Minister of State for Germany. And there was lobbying going on for the past year. Germany growing anxious about Nazi surrender anniversary. That's December the 13th, 1984. Helmut Kohl lobbying, December 27th, 1984. The Kohl connection that I had on the broadcast, December the 4th, 1984. Don't you believe that an American officer could be sent to photograph inside a tank, inside a building, 20 miles inside of East Germany to set up the excuse for not getting together? And the Washington Post, the coup de grace, the icing on the cake, a picture almost 5x7 of Ronald Reagan with John J. McCloy at the White House, making McCloy an honorary citizen of Germany. He was the U.S. High Commissioner, President of Chase Manhattan, Chairman of the Ford Foundation, President of the World Bank. He was the man who released Hallmar Schacht and the Hermann Abst and Friedrich Flieg and all the top Nazis out of prison, out of Nuremberg after 4 or 5 years, and put them into business with Chase Manhattan. And, of course, Exxon is number one of the Fortune 500. They did very well with these Nazis, but the starvation and the deprivation around the world is a different story. The Washington Post says, Germany hails a friend. Now, this is what Jim McCloy says. I'm a little sensitive about my age, said John McCloy, who turned 90 on Sunday. He was America's first civilian High Commissioner of Germany. He was made an honorary citizen of Germany in the Rose Garden. And then it quotes, West German President Richard von Weizsäcker cited McCloy's work in helping Germany recover from World War II. President von Weizsäcker's father was a defendant in Nuremberg, a Nazi war criminal. His son, the now President of Germany, Richard, was an attorney in Nazi Germany who defended his father, who's now President of Germany. How does Ronald Reagan say that the Germans are all dead that were there, that very few alive remember the war, and none of them were adults. He says, certainly none of them were adults or participated in anything such as this. Now, McCloy got a plaque from the mayor of Berlin, Herbert Diepgen, D-I-E-P-G-E-N. He presented a plaque awarding McCloy the highest distinction that Berlin can give. And Richard von Weizsäcker in the Rose Garden and the mayor of Berlin. And it goes on and on. Now, there was a marvelous article in the Atomic Scientist Bulletin on the Project Paperclip, the Nazis that came into the United States. I'm going to be sharing that with you. Subscribers to the tapes have sent me this copy, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, April 15th, 1985. If you can, go to the library, and it's 24 pages, and photocopy it among your collection of material, resource material. But in the last few minutes, I just want to mention that the woman who wrote that story, her name is Linda Hunt. I've corresponded with her. She did a magnificent job. She lives in Washington, D.C. And just recently, not too long ago, she sent me a letter and sent out to other people, Nazis living in America that they've been trying to deport or identify. Now, this is just America. Can you imagine what Germany has? And she's been attending the trials of Mr. Trifias up in Detroit. And she praised Mrs. Holtzman for her tireless work in setting up the Office of Investigation of the Nazis, the office that the Eastern Europeans want to stop now. They're trying to get legislation to eliminate the Office of Special Investigation, the OSI. They want a statute of limitations on war crimes. This is the Washington Post, April 3rd, 1975. The Eastern Europeans from these various countries, the Ukrainians, the Lithuanians, the Poles, with their multi-funded organizations, want to, they're lobbying to have a statute of limitations of kicking Nazis out of here, of eliminating the Office of Special Investigation of Nazi war criminals in this country, and they're sending letters to congressmen deceiving them on praising certain people in their areas that these congressmen didn't know were war criminals. And Senator Alphonse D'Amato was complaining that he was duped into sending a letter because a member of Congress wanted him to praise somebody, and he found out that he actually was a Nazi war criminal. Well, Linda sent a letter about 2 years ago about attending, for people attending trials in different cities of people who did major murders around the country. I only have about 30 seconds to run down these. One was Jurgis Judos, J-U-O-D-I-S, member of the SS Lithuanian Auxiliary Police. Trial was in Florida. Some of these have been updated since this letter. Luidas Carey, L-I-U-D-A-S, second name, K-A-R-Y-S, SS guard from Treblinka, living in Chicago. Tal Avaldis Karklins, K-A-R-K-L-I-N-S, commandant of the Madonna camp, lives in Los Angeles. Serge Kowalczyk, S-E-R-G-E-I, then his last name, K-O-W-A-L, Kowal, C-H-U-K, a member of the Nazi Ukrainian police in Poland, lives in Philadelphia. I have a list here of 25 people who ran the concentration camps. Obviously, I don't have time to go these names. One is Arturkovich, who's now been taken to a hospital in Missouri. He's not sent overseas yet. But a list of 25 cases that are supposed to be deportation cases of people who were responsible for running the camps, particular camps in these various countries, the Ukrainians, the Polish, and so forth. But the decision to ship them to the camps is made in Germany. I bought a book when I was in New York on an atlas of the concentration camps and how the train routes went. So the German people are very much alive, but that problem is described in thousands of books you can get at libraries, at bookstores. They are around today, those very people who did it. The problem is the President of the United States, who's allowing the Vatican, William Wilson, his envoy, the Knights of Malta, to put in the Nazi regimes, the Nazi torture in South America, Central America, W.R. Grace Company with J. Peter Grace and the Robert Keith Gray, these public relations firms, Henry Kissinger, putting in dictatorships, going beyond what our congressmen even need or know, and being pressured by lobbyists of the public relations firms. And then the President of the United States going to the graves of the Waffen-SS. I've talked about Reagan. I've been on the air 14 years. I've never let up very much on him and his connections. I think you get the point that what I was leading to is beginning to merge. That was the genius of The Serpent's Egg, that movie that Ingmar Bergman made, where it stays inside of its little case and you see it growing until one day it comes out. It's visible, but it can't hurt you yet. It nurtures. The Serpent's Egg is probably the most secret movie outside of The Second Gun that Ted Chiarock made on the Robert Kennedy assassination. No movie has been so tightened up. Well, the serpent is out. The serpent is Ronald Reagan. That's what I was writing about. And the SLA is the CIA. And now he can visit the graves of the SS Gestapo. My time is running out. I've got to go now. This is Mae Bressel. I'll be back with you next week to continue with World Watchers.